This is the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast.
This is where it all counts. This is why we're here. This is why each one of us are here.
And now, here's your host.
Welcome back to another edition of the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast. I am Paul Perticchese, and thank you for joining me as always. Day 4 of the NFL Combine is in the books. That is a wrap on the Combine this year. Closing it out today was the big guys, the offensive linemen, broken down into two groups. They had interior O-line and offensive tackles all mixed into one. So you had the first half of the guys going. Second half, I'm going to break down some instant reaction thoughts to the whole two groups collectively. From what I saw, we know the wide receiver. We've been talking about the wide receiver class for a long time here at Saturday Sunday, and we know that's a special class. But this offensive line group as well, the amount of tackles that are going to come off the board in the first round, in the first 40 or 50 picks, it's as good as an offensive tackle class as I think there's ever been at Saturday Sunday since I've been doing this. It's as good as a tackle class as I ever remember, even in general, of being a diehard NFL draft fan for the good majority of over 30 years in my life. So what we saw out there today was not surprising with how many people testing well, and even more so than the testing, looking good in the on-field drills. Like, you know, the 40-yard dash time really means very, very little. So unlike some of the other recap shows where I talked a lot about the 40 times, I'm not going to spend too much time on that because that's kind of irrelevant. For the offensive lineman, the 10-yard split matters a lot. That's what matters to the teams a lot. But it's just understanding how they look in drills, like how smooth were they in terms of what they're going to be at the next level, what scheme is going to work best for them. So there's a whole bunch of guys I'm just going to kind of talk about today, and I'll probably just stick with alphabetical order so I'm not jumping around everywhere. But let's first start with Joe Alt, right near the top of the alphabet. You know, he's probably going to be the first offensive tackle taken. We're talking about a guy who is going to be a top 10 pick. And he went out there, I don't think people realize, he's 6'8", 321 pounds, and he ran a 5.05 40, you know, with a 10-yard split of 1.74, and his official 10-yard split was 1.73. He had a 9.4 broad jump. He had a 4.51 20-yard shuttle, 28-inch vertical. Like, these are insane numbers for a guy who's 6'8", 321 pounds. But then you watch him move. You watch him in the on-field drills, how smooth and how clean he looks. Whether it's the Chargers at 5, whether it's the Giants at 6, whether I think it's the Titans at 8, it's hard to see Joe Alt not getting taken in the first 10 picks of the NFL draft. The pedigree, you know, the program, Notre Dame, there's a lot to like about his skill set, and I think he showed why. Maybe he's not going to be a top 3 or top 4 pick, but that has a lot to do with the fact that there's a lot of quarterbacks and we have these potential transcendent wide receiver prospects that are getting pushed up there. In a normal year, Joe Alt could easily have been a top 3 or top 4 pick. He's just getting pushed down the board a little bit because of the quarterbacks and that trio of wide receivers at the top. And it's still possible he even goes ahead of Neighbors or Odunze as well. I don't think that's out of a realm of possibility either. If we take this to another guy who I thought stood out and performed well, was Cooper Beebe out of Kansas State. He's going somewhere on day 2. He tested out even better athletically than I thought he was going to test out. 322 pounds, 6'3". He ran a 5.03 40 with a 1.75 10-yard split. He had a great RAS score. He looked good in the on-field drills. So this is a guy who I think Cooper Beebe, got to like the size, good size, great frame, very good play strength, power, toughness. I think he's ideal for a power gap run scheme. Locked in as a starting offensive guard, I think probably in his rookie year. I thought he looked really good out there as well in the on-field drills. So he tested out as a good athlete. He looked good in the on-field drills. He already had day 2, draft stock, draft capital. So that was a good day for Cooper Beebe. Tanner Bordellini, the offensive center, offensive guard out of Wisconsin. He's going to be a day three prospect, but today really, really showed that he's got even more athleticism than I think people maybe gave him credit for. We're always used to Wisconsin offensive linemen being those guys who are, you know, powerful, not really the quickest of foot, but he really tested out as arguably one of the better athletes at the position today. 6'4", 303 pounds. He ran a 4.94 40 with a 10-yard split. And then he actually got down to a 1.69 10-yard split on his second time. So really great testing numbers there. For a guy like that, he's going to be an intriguing, I'll say early day three with that athletic testing now. Teams are looking for interior offensive linemen that can get out on the move, that can pull block and move block, can get out and lead block. So many teams want to run that zone run game. They're looking for a guy who has the athletic package of how Bortolini tested out today. So I think he was a big winner from what I saw in the first group of guys. Frank Crum was getting a lot of publicity today with his hair. They were the lettuce there, as they were calling it, on the combine coverage. But this was a late day three type prospect. But that's what the combine, again, we always come back to, why does the combine matter, right? And I always say it's the SAT, right, of the pre-draft process. You put a guy from Wyoming, you have a guy from Alabama, and everywhere in between. And Frank Crum was one of those guys that 6'8", he's 6'8", 313 pounds. And he ran a 4.94 40. He had a 1.69 10-yard split. 31 on the vert, 9.6 on the broad. Those are outstanding numbers. So a guy like Frank Crum, who is looked at as probably a late day Paris type prospect, could use this opportunity to maybe springboard himself, show off the athletic package that he had, and then see where that can take him. In terms of, I think he has an opportunity to be a depth swing tackle. I think he can play in his own run scheme. He can play in a gap run scheme. I think where the way he tested, people are going to look at him as a guy you want to get on the move. So I think a zone run scheme might make more sense. But I do think he has the run blocking capabilities and the strength to hold up into the gap run scheme as well. Another guy I thought who did well was Troy Fontana out of Washington. He looked really good. I know there were some people who think he should kick into offensive guard, but Fontana really looked smooth in the on-field drills. I think he's going to get drafted in the top 20, and I think he's going to get drafted to be a starting offensive tackle. 317 pounds. He ran a 5.05 40. Actually, the official was 5.01. He had a 1.71 10-yard split. But you watched him play. You watched him in the on-field drills, and his movement skills are really good. So I don't think there's any chance that Troy Fontana is getting out of top 20 picks. There's just too many needy offensive line teams, and he just looked too smooth in the on-field drills, tested out as a good athlete, has good film on tape. I think he's locked in to the top 20 picks. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see much out of Olufashinu. He pulled up running the first 40, and he was done for the day. So that was unfortunate because he was planning on doing everything. Next guy I want to talk about is Tyus Fuaga out of Oregon State. Most people think he could be the second offensive lineman off the board. It's Showalt, it's Olufashinu, it's Fuaga. Those are probably the first three guys, maybe. Latham's in the mix there, too. But a lot of people seem to think the Jets maybe have their eyes set on Fuaga at Oregon State to be their starting right tackle. Got great size and frame. Got good movement skills and athleticism. Got great length. We saw that today as well. He tested out. Came in, I should say, first at 6'5", 324 pounds. He ran an official 5.13 with a 1.77 10-yard split, but his film is really strong. He moves well for a guy his size. He's got great play strength. He's got great length. There's a lot to like about Fuaga's game. I think I expect to see him come off the board somewhere in the first 10 to 12 picks. Zach Frazier out of West Virginia didn't run the 40. He's going to be day two off center taken, but he's come back from injury, but he did actually get out there and do the on-field drills. So it was interesting to see him out there. I think he's got a real chance to be a starter in the gap run scheme. Probably come off the board somewhere on, I'd probably say round three, and work his way into a starting job there. So it was nice to see him out there as well. Next guy I want to talk about is Tylan Grable out of UCF. He's an offensive tackle. He's a day three prospect, but, you know, what's exciting about the combine is to see things that you're surprised with. And Grable was one of those guys. He was at the Shrine Bowl. There were some positive reports about him there. Came in at 6'5", 306. He was another guy who broke sub 5. He ran a 4.95 40 with a 1.69 10-yard split. He had a 36.5 vert and a 9.9 broad. Those are insane numbers for a 306-pound man. Teams are looking for developmental offensive tackle prospects on the third day. And I think Grable now has squarely put himself in the mix to be somebody that you're going to see teams interested in when we get to the third day. Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma, he's another guy who I think top 20 in the first round. 6'7", 322 pounds. He ran a 5.19 with a 1.76 10-yard split. I actually thought those numbers were a little bit higher, but I think that just shows you the freakish talent that he is. I mean, the guy's 6'7.5", 322 pounds, and I was kind of expecting him to run closer to a 5 or 5.05, let's say, and maybe even a 1.7 10-yard split, but that's just because how impressive he is on film. I think Guyton is a guy that's raw upside might be as much as any of the offensive tackle prospects in this class. So I thought he looked good in the on-field drills then. Keep this moving along. J.C. Latham out of Alabama did not run a 40 time. He did do some of the on-field drills. Talking about a guy who I think is going to be a starting right tackle, plug and play. I think he's ideal for a gap scheme. This is another guy who he might be the fourth offensive lineman taken or the fifth offensive lineman taken. But in some years, he could have been the second or third. Like, it just shows you the strength of this class and how deep it is. You know, Latham, 6'5", 342 pounds. He's a monster. Great length. Going to be an anchor for a run game. And he's going to be available somewhere maybe in the middle of round one because of the wide receivers, because of the quarterbacks, and because of the depth at the offensive tackle position. Keep this going. A couple other guys that stood out. I think I just hit on most of the guys in the first group. That was where I thought there was more guys that really kind of stood out. Looking through the second group here. Kingsley Sumatia out of BYU. Checked in at 6'4", 326 pounds. He ran an official 5.04 40 with a 1.74 10-yard split. He's a guy who I think is going to get taken somewhere on day two. I like the package that he offers. Average size, but he's got a great frame. He's got good athleticism. He shows lateral quickness. He's got good length. He's got play strength and physicality. He's a former five-star recruit that ended up at BYU by the end of his college career. Ideal for his own run scheme to get him out on the move. I think it's a real chance he gets taken somewhere in round two. So that he was maybe the standout from the second O-line group. Looking through other things from the second group of guys. Roger Rose Garden out of Washington. He was an offensive tackle in college, where I think he's probably going to kick inside the guard. I think he's best in a power gap run scheme. He tested out really well today. Also, he was even a little surprising. 6'5", 308 pounds. He ran a 4.9240 with a 1.73 10-yard split. So he's got the athletic profile to maybe stick a tackle, even though some people think he might end up kicking inside to guard. But that was an intriguing performance that's going to send me and I think many other people back to the film to watch a little bit more on him, because I thought he was a guy that was going to be a good athlete, but not test out as a great athlete, a guy that I thought maybe was going to have to move inside to maximize his skill set at the next level. But this type of testing numbers make me think that maybe he can stay out there, you know, and perform as a tackle, even at the, you know, the NFL. Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon, who's probably going to be the first center taken in the draft, didn't run the 40. But this is a guy, you know, we saw everything we needed to know about Jackson Powers Johnson at the Senior Bowl. Best in the gap run scheme. Great power, play strength, finishing ability. He was just stopping people cold at the Senior Bowl. That's where he really shined and started this momentum. And I still think he's a realistic chance to go somewhere in the first round, in that 20 to 32 range for sure. And Jordan Morgan is the last one I'll talk about out of Arizona. I think he's on that round one, round two border, 3-year starter. I think he's going to be a starting offensive tackle. I think he's scheme versatile. He can play in a gap run scheme. He can play in his own run scheme. I think he's got good athleticism and movement skills to get out there. So that he was a guy, he came in, checked in at 6'5", 311, ran a 5.04 40-yard dash with a 1.70 10-yard split. So I think he checked off those boxes. And with the run I think we're going to have on tackles, somewhere from like, I don't know, 8 to 20, I think there's a chance that Morgan slides into somewhere into round one as well. So, oh, one other guy I can't get out of here without talking about, Amarius Mims out of Georgia. 6'7", 340 pounds. He ended up getting injured on his second 40, but his first one was a 5.07 with a 1.78 10-yard split. This is a guy who is an absolute monster. Didn't even play a lot of snaps at Georgia, but he's the intrigue with him. He's not getting out of round one. So while he only has, I think, like 11 or 12 games experience, there's some inconsistencies for sure. But the size and the frame, the athleticism for a man that size and frame, the movement skills, the lateral quickness, the length, his technique already in pass protection as a good pass protector with recovery skills, shows experienced hand usage. He's going to go in that mix too. So you're talking about, you know, you have Alk, you have, you know, Olu, you have Mims is going to go in there. Latham's going to go in there. You know, I talked about the guys earlier, you know, Fuanga is going to go in there. Who was the other one? And then Fatanu. Those are six guys right there. Those six guys are all going top 20 and probably even forgetting somebody. But those six are going top 20. Then you have Jordan Morgan, who's probably going round one as well. So right there, I think you're talking about seven tackles going in round one. And I'm scanning through my list here, seeing if I'm missing somebody that could be in the mix to go round one. But I don't think so. Just give me one more second. I am Tyler Guyton, and he's going round one. So to me, there's seven locks for round one, and then Jordan Morgan would be number eight. So think about that for a second. Seven offensive tackles are pretty much locked in for round one. And then you're talking about Jordan Morgan might be the eighth. And then if Jackson Powers Johnson goes, that's eight offensive linemen in round one, at least, with potentially nine. And then you also get into the conversation of, do any of the interior offensive linemen that profile as guards, do any of those guys go into round one, like a Graham Barden out of Duke? So if Graham Barden and Jackson Powers Johnson end up going round one as two interior guys, plus seven tackles locked in, that's nine. And then if Jordan Morgan goes, that's 10. So you're talking 10 offensive linemen might go in round one. We know four quarterbacks are locked. Six to eight wide receivers are going. One tight end in Brock Bowers. All of a sudden, the first round's getting real filled up. And we haven't even talked about edge rushers. We haven't even talked about cornerbacks. But you start to add it up right there, you know, 10 offensive linemen, even if we say six wide receivers, that's 16. A tight end is 17. Four quarterbacks is 21. We're at 21 guys right there. We have 11 picks left, and it could be a Bo Nix in there. And then we still got the edge rushers and the cornerbacks, probably maybe an off-the-ball linebacker, maybe a safety. Can safely say no running backs. But that's what you're going to see. You're going to see, and it's probably going to be more than six wide receivers. I think six wide receivers is the safe estimate right now. But right there, six wide receivers and 10 offensive linemen. Half the first round is going to be offensive linemen and wide receivers, and then four or five quarterbacks and Brock Bowers. There's going to be some really good defensive players that fall through the cracks in round one just because of how great of a wide receiver class and how great of an offensive tackle class it is, how good of a quarterback class it is as well. So it's going to be fun to follow this over the next couple weeks. The free agency kind of set the stage a little bit for what teams might be doing. Where does Kirk Cousins land? Where does Justin Fields land? Kind of set it. But the combine's in the books. I do want to close out, obviously, the end of the combine. They talked about it as well. The passing of the great Chris Mortensen from ESPN. As somebody who's loved all football coverage since he was a child, Chris Mortensen is one of the first people that I would watch on TV really getting into coverage of the football. His Mort Report was something that, like, religiously did not want to miss it, knew when it was going to be on, made sure I was in front of my TV. The 2004 NFL draft when the Giants drafted Eli Manning, the coverage that Chris Mortensen provided, I still have that. I watch that draft periodically just because it was, for Giants fans, it's probably and arguably the most important draft ever. The coverage that he provided on that is top notch. So it was tragic loss here in the passing of him, the impact he had on so many people, obviously, in the industry who knew him personally, but even fans just of football, fans of the draft, fans of everything, the job he always did was first class. And hearing Rich Eisen and in particular Daniel Jeremiah talk about him, you know, it was a very nice tribute to him, but a genuine moment where he came across that way all the time as this genuinely great person that cared about his family, his friends, and loved football. And the fact that he was texting Dan Jeremiah yesterday asking about Spencer Rattler and stuff like that, you know, showed the love that he had for football, even as he was sick. I think it speaks volumes on his character, and the tributes I've seen online and on Twitter and stuff like that have been great to see. he will be missed in the football industry for sure. Closing out, if you've enjoyed the Combine recap shows, if you've enjoyed the Twitter tweets about all the prospects, please get over to the website, SS Football, fastest and easiest way to get there. Check out our premium content tab, and for $9.99, you get access to all our premium notebooks. You get the scouting notebook, which now at the Combine is in the books. I will really get into finalizing updates on that. I think there's like 15 players that might say full profile coming soon. Those profiles will be added in the next 7 days or so. I will continue to make tweaks and updates in there. You get the rankings notebook, as all our different rankings, our special SS tiers. We will get back into our tier buster shows moving forward. Get our dynasty rookie rankings right after the draft. You get our Devy rankings after the draft. You get our overall dynasty rankings updated in real time. You get my film rankings for the draft class, all found in the rankings notebook. And then in April, you get the draft projections notebook. And the tweets that I've been putting out over the last 4 days, that's kind of a snapshot of what you get in the draft projections notebook. You get tabs for every single position, offense and defense. You get a snapshot of how they win, and then another tab for developmental areas, or column, I should say, for developmental areas. You get all their combine measurements, their combine testing numbers all right there. But you get it ranked in an order based on everything I'm hearing. So I have the people I feel like I trust the most in the industry. I kind of group it all together, everything I hear that I think is worthy of hearing, everything I read, everything I see, and I kind of give you the ultimate draft board on how I expect these guys to come off the board based on everything I'm hearing. My takes are all in the scouting notebook. My takes are in my rankings. But the draft projections notebook is doing my best to try to project who comes off the board in round one, who comes off the board in the top 100, the first three rounds, and then my guess of who comes off the board every single pick in all seven rounds. We've had a tremendous track record of projecting how the draft is going to play itself out. Look forward to trying to keep that going this year. If you've purchased it in the past, I urge you to consider purchasing it again. If you've been a longtime listener but never purchased it, would really appreciate you considering purchasing it for $9.99. I think you will find a lot of valuable information there for yourself, and this to help us to continue to do what we do here at Saturday Sunday every single week, every single year, covering the draft, covering college football, covering the combine, fantasy stuff, etc., etc. Can purchase the notebooks wherever you listen to the podcast, rate, review, subscribe. Get over to the YouTube feed. If you prefer to watch the podcast, you can subscribe or like there as well to help us out there as we slowly start to grow the YouTube side of things just for people who spend more time on YouTube than podcast apps. So, on behalf of our sound tech engineer, Dave Nakano, and myself, thank you for joining us, and we look forward next time taking you from Saturday to Sunday.